and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
See that? I'm out of practice. But I did talk with a few people and found out that it's you just kind of throw one leg over onto the seat and then start that pedal and you just start going like that and that's yeah I kind of thought that was funny but gonna have to jump in here. Okay, before we preach, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11 verse 25. That's where we're gonna get to as our text. And but before I do that, a couple just quick things. One, I want to introduce Justin and Emily Hargrave. If you guys could just stand up real quick, just wherever you're at in the room, right there. You don't have to keep standing. That's the rest of the family. But we do have a picture, and you can sit down. I just to not make it hard. But these guys are long-term missionaries back. They were originally sent out of a sister church down in Austin, Hope in the City, now Antioch, Austin. And we love you guys. We're excited that you're here. They've been Afghanistan, Turkey, and Indonesia. And so just love that you guys are landing here, and we want to be family. And you guys, this is a big part of who we are. The ascending church, but also people come back, you know, and so it's just a big deal. In our mission culture, we want to celebrate you and the years of laying down your lives and your kids, and just this be a safe, welcoming place for you. Love you. I also want to say thanks to everyone who preached during the summer series. Starting with Bailey, who was just, no, I'm not going to go through everybody's names, but you know, it's just, I had so many people come to me and say, wow, like that person's just, they always sit like two rows behind me right over there, and then they just stood up and preached lights out, you know? And my answer to that is the riches. Look around the room. Paul prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you'd know the hope to which you have been called and the riches of his glorious inheritance, where? In the saints. In his holy people, like his glory, like you are the glorious riches of his inheritance, and we are that together. And so I just, that's part of the beauty of the church, and it's a joy. I know it's different maybe, you know, to have different voices if you're newer to the church, but it's just something that's been a joy for us to get to do, and I love it. I sit there on the edge of my seat waiting to hear what cool thing are they going to be sharing. You know, and it's the power. The enemy's overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and loving not our souls unto death. So, amen. Well, the last time I preached on John chapter 17, and the title of the message was The Summit of Love. And I would encourage you guys, not because of me, but because of that word is so important. It's really important for us as God's people to know. This is like, John 17 is not normal. It's not, all scripture's not the same height of revelation. And John 17 is an inner picture of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in intimate communion. And so you want to know what's going on there. And it's that eternal life is knowing the Father and the Son, John 17:3. It is the glory of Jesus is the love shared between the Father and the Son in the Spirit, John 17:24. It is that our future is to love Jesus Christ with the love of the Father, John 17:26. Again, all of these are sermons. Like, just that is an explode. October 11th, 1993. Was when that verse became illuminated and just jumped off the page, and I realized I'm going to love Jesus Christ with the Father's love. Come on. It's changed the trajectory of my life, reading that and having that revelation. And that's the point of the Gospel of John, is to believe in Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, to believe in him and have life in his name. That's what we're called to do. And so absolutely huge. Jesus and his relationship of love with the Father in the Spirit. And we are included in that wonderful good news. It really is. It's amazing good news. It's the pinnacle of our salvation. Our salvation isn't something like, oh no, we're just waiting until we get to the dry ice and we kind of float around and have wings. Our salvation is participation with the Father and the Son in the Spirit. And it's just more and more in ways that we can't, the horizon is forever into the depth of this love. It's just absolute, like, we don't outgrow it. We don't already have it figured out. Oh yeah, I've already heard this. He gonna talk about love again today? No, we don't have it figured out. And our life is a life of repentance to him and to his perspective and his wonderful participation, and he's bringing us into that. There is a risen human in the Trinity, and we are participants in him. It's just like, wow. I've been thinking about this a lot while I got some time out of the pulpit, and I'm excited. It starts, just let me share the good news with you, because I love to start here with the resurrection. You know, the resurrection changes everything, right? Disciples all going one way, but then Jesus is raised from the dead. He's raised from the dead. So he's like, you know, declared with power by the Holy Spirit to be the true King and Lord of the world. And so all of the stuff of his life and all that he's done, the incarnation, God becoming flesh, that's true. Like, God takes on flesh, and don't ever forget that. Like, don't just run to what God used Jesus to kind of forgive us of our sins. No, God became flesh. And all that means, though he was rich, he became poor so that we, through his poverty, could step into this and enjoy this wonderful. And then he offered his life. What we could not do, Jesus did. He offered his life, a sanctified life, the right human response. He's the mediator, but he's also the high priest. And he offered his life to God on our behalf. And then he took our place. He died the death that we should have died. And it says in Romans 6, verse 3 through following, you know, that we know that our old self was crucified with him on the cross. We're in union with him. So the death he died, we died. And the life he's raised to, we're raised to. And so there's resurrection life right here in this room in us. And we are ascended with him in his humanity into the triune love of God. This is incredible good news. It's massive good news. And he pours out his Spirit so that this can be a real experience in your life, so that you can know the love of God, so that you can know that you are included in Christ when the Father's saying, you are my beloved Son. With you, I'm just well pleased with you, and I love you. And I just think if we could just, oh God, download this into our hearts so that we could look around this room and see how much God loves Antioch, Fort Worth. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I'm going to say more about that, but I don't ever get tired of it. We don't outgrow it. Oh, it's so good. Here's good news. It's always grace. It's just always grace. You know, even when you hear this message, I'm going to say some stuff. We're going to talk here. But it's not just thrown back on you when we all get done and leave here. It's grace. It's grace, beginning, middle, and end. He's done it all. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Go ahead and hit that. It's because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who's become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. That's another way of saying he's the beginning, the middle, and the end. He is everything. It's all about him. It's his response. Even our own response is inside of his response, if that makes sense. Our faith is in his faithfulness. And it's not because we get it together, get it figured out, or we're more holy than somebody else. It's a life lived inside of Him. It's just, oh, I'm smiling more than I thought I would be. It's just really good news. I mean, it's a life of dependence upon God. It's a life, the way John Brown, one of our mentors, used to say it, it's living by the life of another. That's what Jesus did. He totally lived by the life of His Father. He showed us how to do it, but He doesn't just say, okay, now follow my example. He actually includes us in His life so that we participate. Our living is a participation in His life. You know, and so think about the garden. There's just one command in the garden. Like, don't eat, don't do this one thing, right? And this one thing was a symbol of our independence from God. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's even our greatest hits and things that have worked out really good. I don't know why I did that. The things that worked out really good for us, but apart from God, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what He's calling us to is this circle over here, the circle of love, a circle that's lived out of God's life, a life that's lived out of God's life. And the wonderful thing is, even though we blow it, the story of redemption is the story of God coming again and again and again, of God choosing not to live without us, of creating us, of then working through the fall, but coming again and again and again to Abraham and to Israel and the promises and to David and the promises and the brokenness of humanity. And then out of the womb of Israel, the Son of God is born. God in the flesh coming to save us, not just for people in the Middle East and not just for men, but for everybody. Every tribe, every language, every nation, every tongue. That's who He came for. It's wonderful good news. And I am convinced that this beautiful relational God of love has been missed by so much of the world. And even missed by so much of the church. When we don't see this, or we, out of our own pain and woundedness and brokenness, out of our, I'm a mess, and I'm gonna paint that onto the face of God. And we have to continually, relentlessly repent to Jesus and to His view. Because I'm forever, I know you guys are too, this is the fall of humanity. We want to say, no, Jesus, you have to think about God the way we think about God. And that's not right. You know, in all of our brokenness and different ways we mess that up, we turn away from God. People turning away from God, it's not because they know who He really is. It's not because they see Him as He really is. They think He's not relevant to this life. It's not because they've seen who He really is. We turn to idols. We have all these kind of projections of, if we could just get this thing down or get this down, then it's going to be better, but we're still over here out of this tree, right? If I can just figure this thing out. If we could just get the right candidate, somebody say, do something. If we could figure that political thing out. Wrong tree. And so just coming under Jesus, it's not, we're not apolitical, it's just, but coming under Jesus. And his politics first. His reign first. His kingdom first. His lordship first. And it's not just, you know, over here, if we just believe the right things, we're right and they're not right, and we're trying to get life over here and it doesn't work. If I somehow I can get life from, I'm more right, I'm the rightest one of all. I'm rightest one of all. I don't know if that's a song. It's weird. But today we're looking at an invitation, you guys, to a whole new world. A whole new world. It's the life that is shared by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the main thing, this invitation is the invitation of Jesus to live in the yoke of his relationship with his Father in the Spirit. So let's read the Word of God together here. If you would stand up for the reading of the Word. This is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 30. And again, I don't want to keep saying this. Most of you guys have read this verse before, this passage, but now let's set our minds on the Lord and expect to see something that you haven't seen before, because that's what happens. We turn to him and he shows us more. So at that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, a couple of invitations here is the message for today. And the first one is this: we're invited into the circle of love. We're invited into the circle of love. Now, I want to just preach this here in a way that is like it's all those three paragraphs go together. And I've been tempted to not see it that way. A lot of time, you know, come to me. What an invitation from the Lord. Come to me. You're weary, you're burdened, you're burned out. The way the message says that, burned out on religion. Come to me, to Jesus. Come to me and find rest. Find rest, recovery for your soul down inside. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble. You know, it is a promise of rest. It is the gentle, it's taking his yoke. You know, what is that yoke? I want to talk about that. Just some fresh ideas about that this morning. I'm gentle and humble. I don't think anybody would ever, just before Jesus came in humility, that anybody would ever think about God in humility. And yet that's how God identifies himself. And there's such a temptation in our hearts. We talk about this all the time, but we think sovereignty and we think almighty throwing lightning bolts and using power the way we would use power. And then God comes in the flesh and he's humble and gentle and lowly and yet filled with authority and power and surrendered to the Father. And like a child, he is the Son of the living God. And so what is this yoke? I think it's the yoke of relationship. That's what's really fresh for me this week. It's the yoke of his relationship with the Father in the Spirit. And what he's talking about in this yoke is love. A relationship where there's peace and joy and such assurance, and there's not fear or anxiety, but there's an assurance that we're loved in that way. Take my yoke upon you. You know, I've always thought, like, I thought Jesus was given a little teaching about being like children at the start, you know, hey, praise you, Father, this is hidden from the wise and learned, so be like a child. So there's that little exhortation, and then the Son reveals the Father, and then the yoke part, come to me and wear this yoke. But what if, like John 17, this prayer really is insight into the inner relations of the triune God. Like, what if Jesus is really praying this? It's not just a teaching about, hey, go be like children, but it's actually his own prayer. I think it is. Isn't that fresh? Like, that's his prayer. Father, I'm your son. I'm your child. And you've hidden this from the wise and learned, but for those that'll be like children and just offering our love and joy to you, that's where it is. That's where the yoke is right there. I met a new friend a couple weeks ago. His name's Jordy Ziegler, and I'd been reading an article that he'd written, and we got in touch, and it was on spiritual formation and the role of the Holy Spirit. And he made a cool point. He said, spiritual formation, the essence spiritual should never be small letter. It's capital because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives forming us. We're not just left back again on our own devices to try to crank it down and who's the toughest and can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and that kind of thing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to grow us up. And so there's something about just, you know, communion and fellowship with God being an end in itself. It's like, I don't know if anybody else does this. I can make prayer sometimes so transactional. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Where you're trying to get something. I need this thing done, or I need to get guilt off me. I'm feeling shame about something, and that's really kind of why I'm there, instead of just like fellowship with the Lord and just being there in stillness. I'm trying to spend more time just in stillness. It's hard for me sometimes. But had a great conversation with Jordy. We ended up doing a Zoom call. But in this article, he wrote about Jesus in his prayer here, that it's his prayer. You know, it's not just a teaching, but it's actually his prayer. And he says, by praying aloud like this, he's sharing with his disciples what it's like to be Jesus. I thought that's brilliant. To be Jesus is to be childlike. To be Jesus is to trust the Father rather than his own wisdom. To be Jesus is to be entrusted by the Father with all things because the Son always seeks to do the Father's will. To be Jesus is to know that he's completely known and loved by the Father. To be Jesus is to know himself in the light of the Father's love for him and to love the Father in return. To be Jesus is to know his home is in the Father's love. I mean, that is just so good. The yoke of Jesus isn't like he's the workout coach. Come on, come on, come on, you can do it. Work harder. Come on, down in the blocks, come out firing. Go lift. Let me hear it. Like, that's not it. It's this relationship of love. It's beautiful, you guys. The yoke of relationship is about intimacy. It's about love. It's about life. It's about joy in his presence. It's about an unbelievable, beyond this earth kind of assurance and peace that he's got us and all the stuff that we're going through. And it's like being a child. I got this incredible video this past week from my son and daughter-in-law, and they're in California right now, and it's our little granddaughter's just turned 2, so she's 2 years and 2 months, and so I'm going to do a couple videos here, and it's just like 20 seconds, but watch her, and her mom is like, I'm just going to say this, be foreshadowing, it's like the Holy Spirit getting her attention over here. And then when she sees something, watch her light up. Okay? So we'll watch these two versions. Here we go. First one.
Look, it's Anna and Elsa.
Look.
Okay. So then, in this next one, I'm slowing it down. Slow-mo. And I want you to watch her eyes. Because, you guys, for all of us, this is a word for us. Where's our attention? Where's our focus? And are we following the pointing of the Holy Spirit to Jesus? Let's look at it again. Watch her eyes. Slowly getting there. One more time. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so I'm watching that and I got tears and I'm like, oh, everybody, oh, everybody, oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. The Spirit is pointing inside of me. It's Jesus. Look to him. It's Jesus. And he wants to do that in us. He wants us to live inside of that relationship where there's always going to be more. Like, you never, you're not going to, I'm not going to, we're not going to get to the end of this. And every time we repent and get out of that circle and live out of this circle of life and love, man, there's always more. And it's, duh, you know, and we've been over here looking, there's noise, it's loud, we're distracted, anybody know what I'm talking about? And you get sensitive to the Lord, and then you, I can't make a squeal like that, but it's awesome, it's so good. Just, yeah, our eyes, our hearts, he wants to the greatest joy in the world. It's not something else, it's that circle, the circle of love. So what does this mean for us? Let's change gears here. Secondly, then, we're invited into the circle, but we're also invited into a life of love. So that second point there. I got excited. We're invited to live all of life out of that circle, to take on the yoke of Jesus. And to live, come to me, take this yoke on, this yoke, the yoke of this life, of this relationship. And I'm not trying to be grandiose here, but this changes everything. This changes the way we see the Christian life. This changes the discipleship. This changes, living from here changes everything. This is the way of life. This is what Jesus has made possible in our own, in his humanity, and taking us on. He became what we are so that we might become what he is, without losing the distinction between the creator and the creature. That makes sense. So that's kind of a deep thought there from Irenaeus. But it's a big deal. It changes everything. We want the mind of Christ and we want the actions of Christ. And that's just that is an everyday journey. Nobody's arrived. Every day I have to repent to Jesus. So let's get repentance out of that's the really bad people, and get it into that's the people that are trying to follow Jesus. Repenting, like sometimes 10 times a day. Sometimes, if we could do it, it might even be a 50 or 100, you know? So the thing is, the living life from this circle over here, the circle, the tree of life living will not tolerate this. It may not always be hostile, but it will not tolerate it. Even in the church, if we're going to live by this tree, it won't tolerate that. And it'll say things that are the most bizarre statements about Jesus Christ and his words. Oh, that, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if that's really practical. Anybody ever, y'all remember when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount last fall? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We thought it. Yeah. Oh, is that going to really work? You know? And yet, that's living life from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When that stuff starts coming out of our mouths, No, that's what's going on. Others will take advantage of us. You know, we need to fight back. We need to not forgive. We need to do tit for tat. They hurt us, we hurt them, right? Yeah. Wrong tree, right? Everybody capturing that. So we have to go back again and again and again to Jesus, his self-sacrificing, self-giving, other-centered, Calvary-like looking love. That's the love of God. We see that in the incarnation, we see that in the cross, changing our minds to agree with Jesus every day, over and over, and basking in it, just basking in that. And so what we have to do, just practically, is receive it. I just got to receive it. I need to be a receiver of the love of God. He's with the Lord now, but a dear friend of many years, Floyd McClung, some of you guys have heard me share this story, but years ago, he would start World Mandate. He'd be speaking each year at World Mandate. He'd stand up. He's 6'8", you know, just this big, giant dude. He's one of the only guys I hug like this, you know. And there's a few, but I'm kind of tall. So anyway, Floyd, stand up. I'm Floyd, and I love Jesus. And every morning, I have to hear my father say how much he loves me. And I'd, like, get my journal out, like, every morning, Father's love. That's good. Next year, he stands up at World Mandate. Hi, I'm Floyd McClung, and I love Jesus. And every morning, I have to get up and hear my father say how much he loves me. Like, oh, man, I sort of remember that one, but write it down again. Write that down. Third year, hi, I'm Floyd, I love Jesus, and every morning I have to get up and hear my father say how much he loves me. And I think on that third one, I was like, okay, wait. If Floyd, famous missionary, statesman, leader in the body of Christ, needs to get up every morning and hear his father say how much he loves him, then what about me? Do I need to do that? And so that started being my hit and miss practice, you know, and I was riding with Floyd from years ago from Waco down to Austin, and I told him that story, and check this out. I finished that story, and he put his hand on my arm, and he said, oh, Jamie, he said, I needed to hear that this morning. And part of that is, so that's Floyd being told his own story and it encouraging his own heart. You ever done that before? Like, something, you had something, and it was just like massively encouraging to you, and you're walking in it, and then somebody else kind of repeats it to you, or they even said they got it from you, you know, and they're like, oh, wow, conviction. I think that's been being choked in my life a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. So I've just been, you guys, I've just been, Father, tell me about your love. Father, tell me about your love. And I mean, some mornings, you know, it's encouraging. Other mornings, I'm wrecked. Like, wrecked, just in, and I need to hear that. Father, tell me about your love. So, a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I'm asking for the Father's love. Okay, so this literally happened, what I'm about to tell you. I said, Father, tell me about your love. And I remembered that, and I was just sitting there just resting in his love. And I remembered that Aaron Wardlaw had sent me a song that I thought was something about the love of God. And so I flipped open my computer. I didn't have my phone there in the study. Might be a quiet time tip for somebody. but I did flip open the computer. And there a message hits from my dad. A text message hits like in that moment. I said, Father, tell me about your love. Flip the computer up. The text message hits. And it says this. From my dad, says, good morning, he didn't talk like that, but it's to me. Good morning. Just wanted you to know that I am. Got you on my mind. Love you, Dad. Now, I pretty quickly figured out he's probably using voice text, and I am was supposed to be I have, you know, but is that a coincidence? I'm literally asking the Father, Father, tell me about your love. And maybe it's a coincidence, but in faith, maybe it's not a coincidence, and that the I am wants me to know that he's got me on his mind, which is absolutely deep, relevant theological truth. Love you, Dad. And I just spent the next bit of time worshiping the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, I get frustrated sometimes because I see more than I can live into. It's just, I wish I could stay there, you know? And bad decisions, anger, anxiety, different stuff. You fill in the blank for you. And I was sharing that, actually with Jordy. And he said, yeah, we see more than we experience. And we experience more than we abide in. Oh, man, that's good, you know. That's good. And that I myself, I'm not myself alone, but I'm myself in relation to the Father, Son, and Spirit. I'm myself in relation to my brothers and sisters and the family. And it's a big deal, you know. And we can't, you know, I want to grow up, but again, to something he said, I wrote it down. None of this can be fast-tracked. It moves at the speed of love, which is the speed of relationship. I've just been meditating on that. It's like, we can't fast-track this. We're just in process, we're growing, but we're not thrown back on our own resources, but we're in a process of growth that's led by the Spirit as we share and live life and commune in this circle and live our life and our response out of his response. You know, so I'm saying all this. I want it to be encouraging, and you're not thrown back on your own strength. It's the power of the living God in us. We've been gathered into this shared life, and life is living in him. It's I do want to encourage more stillness, more just... I was sitting there by myself, and it was just the four of us yesterday morning, and I took an extra long time. Now think about what I just said. I'm by myself, and it's just the four of us. And I just enjoyed his presence. And I went outside for a walk after, you know, some time of being there with the Lord. And, man, I mean, the colors were brighter. It was beautiful, you know. Could be that it's the coolest morning in 6 weeks, but it was awesome. And I put on some music, and it was almost like it was at the end of a playlist, and I just started hearing. I couldn't believe the songs that were coming on one after another, and I was just worshiping. I mean, I had chills just walking around the block, you know, and like, wow, Lord, this is incredible. And he's bringing us into this relationship, you guys. Yeah, he wants to do something big. He wants to change the world. It is his plan for changing the world. This, all this is plan A. Christ and his glory in and through the church. That's plan A. But it starts here with us and with the Lord and with a life of relationship. I love Chris. Thanks for just in the communion time. It's about a relationship. It's about knowing him. It's about living in this circle here and becoming awake to when we're living in this circle. Just the greatest hits of Jamie. You know, this worked a long time ago. I'll try it again here. And it's just my thoughts rather than, Lord, let my response be out of faithfulness to you. Make sense? And this is the life. God's done everything to bring us in. And today, then, is the day now to believe. As we're walking forward, let's put our faith and trust and hope in him, who is the Lord. All right, let's stand up. We're going to respond here and worship. Man, I want this. I want it, Lord. I want to be like that little girl. Just, I see it. I want to respond that way. You know, and as the band's coming up, as the ministry team, come on up here if you guys would. And if you're visiting with us, we do this at the end of every time of preaching, just respond to the Lord. And so maybe there's something that you heard that's like, yes, I know I want that, and just come and respond. Or maybe there's a challenge, like a challenge is rising up, like, well, that won't work for me because, you know, there's something there that's a hindrance, then let's pray about that as well. And the big question, I think, is God's question for us is, where are you today? Just like he asked Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are we today? And maybe it's like things have been hard or God seems far away. Then he wants to meet you. He really does want to meet you today as we just turn to him in grace. And maybe you're tired of thinking that it's on you. Maybe that's the way to say it. It's on you to get it done. Again, guys, there's grace from God. And just that's the testimony here. And there's always a way forward in him. And maybe you've forgotten what it's like to be a child. Then take up his yoke, the yoke of sonship, the yoke of relationship, the yoke of joy and life and assurance in him. Father, meet us today, whatever our need is, whatever the point of just we know that there's a need. Lord, I pray for the whole church to take a step forward, to move forward in grace, to move into the circle in grace, to wake up to being in the circle in grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. You guys come, get prayer. Let's press in on this. Be hungry. He put that desire in us to know him, to love him, to be loved by him. Thank you, Lord.